Well, we're still teaching in the subject of the three parts of faith, and our foundational scripture that we had used in this teaching, which comes from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verses 1 through 3, is dealing with this subject. It's important to understand that about what faith is, and because a lot of people have a lot of ideas of faith. When I was growing up as a kid in a church, they used to use it, the people talk about blind faith. And I guess there's people who maybe originally brought that up. They were talking about faith deals with what you can't see. But they had turned into a thing that blind faith meant you really didn't know what God was going to do. That's what it became. You know, faith is blind, but we need to understand faith, true faith, you see the result in your heart. You can't see it with your eye, but you see it. And this is what faith is about. And these scriptures tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may hope for something, but you got to come to faith if you want to bring it to pass. Hope will just keep pushing at the future, keep pushing it down the road somewhere. You know, sometime God will do this. Sometime God will just keep shoving it down there. Faith takes it and say, okay, hold it. It's mine. I have it. It belongs to me. I got that thing. And so, and that really changed your hope. That really changes things when you come to that. But it said this is by the elders of the people who were before us. They obtained a good testimony through this. It says, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We're going to teach this morning. We went through the fact of where faith was, is faith of the heart or of the spirit of man. And then we got over talking about dealing with faith. So faith is something in your spirit. And then whatever it is in your spirit that you believe, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're teaching here on faith, is about the word of God in faith. There's things you can naturally have faith in that you can do, but this is different from the standpoint. We're talking specifically about taking the word of God and bringing it to pass in our lives. What God has said. You know, God makes a lot of statements, you know, tells you, you know, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You know, people I've over the years, people come and ask you, well, pray for God to bless me. And I say, well, what more do you want? See, their whole thinking is wrong. They're trying to get what they already have. And the Lord spoke to me of this years ago. He said, my people keep trying to get what I've already given them. And he's right. Christians, but I don't blame people. They've been taught that. Religion teaches certain people that don't understand faith will teach a lot of things in the Bible that are good, but they'll teach it wrong. They're teaching like we're trying to get this stuff. No, we're being taught to receive it. It's what God's already done for you. You have to receive it. And that's what faith is about. Faith is saying, I believe He gave that to me. That belongs to me. That's what faith is doing. It's a simple thing. But it is hard for people, it seems, to overcome that because sight is huge. You know, your flesh, your sight, your feelings, all that kind of stuff is huge. It's something you're dealing with all the time. You know, sometimes there's a difficulty, and this is the fight of faith, you know, where, you know, something's going on. It's the opposite of what you believe you receive. And sometimes it can be pretty powerful. Stuff that's going on and is happening is one thing, as I found out the day that we're living in today, that a lot of so-called faith people are not very good faith people because they're having a difficult time of seeing what's happening in this nation. They've lost their joys. Like Mike talked about, people want to get out of here. You know, all they can think about, man, you know, I want to get out. It's one thing, as I learned from Kenneth Hagin, he said, you know, great faith comes from great trials. Everybody wants to have great faith, but they don't want to face nothing. They want to get out immediately. Faith is not being able to skirt problems. It's being able to deal with them. It's being able to look the problem right in the face and say, hey, hold it. You ain't running my life. You're not going to do this. This is what the Bible says. And I found out lots of times, you know, there's things that I skirted, but eventually down the road I had to do it again. So it came up and you're going to have to deal with it, you know. You put a Band-Aid on it, one day you're going to have to take the Band-Aid off. And it ain't healed. Oh, dear Lord, we got to get that fixed. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to look this morning, we're going to really emphasize in an area I wasn't going to go into, because sometimes you can take a portion of scripture, you know, that God did something or certain things you can emphasize out of it in teaching. But the Lord dealt with me about this. It was this week, it kept coming to me about this. And we're going to go to the Matthew, the 8th chapter. We're going to look at something with the centurion. who came to Jesus. And there was two things that he talked to me about this week on things. But this one here, I didn't know which one in the direction exactly I was going to go this morning because of this week the Lord was saying. But while we were worshiping, the Lord told me what I was supposed to do. And so we're going to these scriptures here specifically, because lots of times I put things in the bulletin, but sometimes we don't go there. But this one was one of them that was in there. So we got that one on this week. But anyhow, I want you to look at this because there's something, we're going to make an emphasis on what's said. And we're talking about the actions of faith. We believe the Word of God with our heart. We say it, but our actions. And here's a really an important thing concerning with us with acting out. With the centurion, on verse 5 says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him, 'Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" So in other words, Jesus really saying concerning, this is the greatest faith that he found. Well, if this is the greatest faith that he found, what is it we're supposed to understand about this faith? Now, I know from the Kenneth Hagin in teaching on this, Kenneth Hagin, he would emphasize concerning, in which we want to do that, is the Word. In other words, God's Word is enough, and you need to understand that. See, most people, lots of people need to see something, or they need to feel something. He said, the Word's enough. You don't have to come to my house. He said, all you do is you say a word, and it'll take place, it'll happen. But why did he believe that? The whole portion, that isn't the biggie why Jesus said he had great faith. Most of the emphasis of teachings on that, years ago the Lord spoke to me and took me to the verses before that and said, this is what Jesus was impressed by with him. And we want to look at this is because dealing with the area of what this man understands, and it is a place many times that Christians don't understand. We do the teaching because we're going to deal with the areas of authority here. Is one of the things is looking at this in authority. In other words, and we're dealing with authority, we're talking about, these are actions. In other words, acting like something is true, acting like something exists. Here we have stated that this guy, he says to Jesus, the centurion, in verse 9, he says to him, to the centurion, he says, "For I also am a man under authority." Now I want you to get a hold of this. Now, in the King James, it just says, "I'm a man in authority." But literally, literally written out, it is correct here in the New King James. The word "also" should be there because what he's talking about, in fact, many translations have put the word "also" in because what he's talking about, he's comparing the authority he works under, that he's under, and also with Jesus. We need to understand this. When we teach authority, and I was taught by Kenneth Hagin, he talks about the believer's authority, the authority that we have. But you need to understand this. No one in this earth has authority unless it was given to him by somebody. You are actually, when people say, well, the believer's authority, the authority I have is because I'm under an authority. That's why you have authority. In the earth, the only reason you have authority as a believer because God gave Jesus Christ authority over everything in heaven and in earth. Any authority that you have as a believer, it's delegated to you. It isn't your authority. You're operating under Jesus' authority. You need to get this. This is important. This is why believers have weak faith. Because they're trying to operate under their authority. I'm not operating under mine. This guy understood. When he said, "I'm also a man under authority," what he's saying to Jesus, "I recognize that you operate under an authority. You have authority in the area of healing. I recognize that." In other words, you're under an authority. He said, "Look, I'm an authority here as a man, as a soldier. I'm an authority under Rome." See, his authority wasn't his. It was Rome's authority. Rome had given it. Caesar had given him the authority that he had. That's where it came from. What backs up his authority is Caesar, not him. He only carries out the will of Caesar. His authority he has under anyone underneath of him is because of Caesar's authority. The only reason you have authority is because of Jesus' authority. It is not yours. We have been given authority, but it's again given to us. It is a delegated authority. It's delegated to us. Well, now, and you think, well, you know, boy, it's not ours. See, the whole idea, when we take authority to ourselves, we keep trying to back this thing up. That's the weakness of the faith of the believers who are always trying to walk in their authority. I don't have to back my authority up. Heaven backs my authority up. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of faith. He is the one who backs up the faith. He's the one. He's the one who does it. If I walk in the authority delegated to me, he must back it up or his authority is worthless. See, we need to lay aside, you know, so many times we're trying to bring to pass and trying to make things happen. That if we understand this guy, this is the wisdom, and Jesus saw this, it was like, whoa, this guy got it. He understands this thing. Why? Listen to this. You know why he never found faith like that in Israel? Because they were like Americans. I have freedom. I can just, we don't live under nobody's authority. That was the Jews. The Jews were always rebelling against authority. Did Jesus ever rebel against the authority of Rome? He was always into submission to it. Always. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due. He wasn't fighting government. He never fought government. He wasn't fighting government. I watched this back and I saw it back in the 80s. I watched the church get political and I started getting their involvement. They started getting involved in politics in the wrong ways. There's nothing wrong, be wrong in voting, doing things and wanting to raise up people. But man, they just looked to politics to run things. They started doing it. I started to watch it. And I said, this stuff ain't good. It ain't going to ever lead to good. Because what happens is they try to pick up on a political authority, whether walking in the authority that God gave them. They become fighters of things. Instead of being submissive to authorities, they're no longer submissive to them. We can't complain about what Biden's doing. The church is in rebellion against government. Why should we care who, you know, we're allowed to rebel and he's not. You know, the church don't follow the word and then gets mad somebody don't follow the Constitution. Because see, the Constitution is, to many Christians, is their Bible. That's their Bible. I'm not saying it's criticized, because if we understand authority, and I'm convinced of this, we understand authority and understand where your authority comes from, who backs it up. It takes a lot of pressure off of you. And if God can, you know, I've done this many times, Lord, I'm going to stand on what your word said. And if you don't turn this thing around or fix it, don't come along to me with your stuff. You put your word out. You're going to have to take care of this. Other people say, you talk to God like that? Should have never put his word out if he wasn't planning on doing it. Should have never put it out there. See, I'm not trying to bring this to pass, Lord. I'm not going to try to do a thing about it. You said, and I'm standing on what you said. You're going to have to take care of this. You said you would. It's yours. You got to come to a place like that. So people don't do it. Why? I'm under his authority. If it doesn't work, if he doesn't back me up, it's just me. And this is what many times people are trying to do. It's about their faith. My faith is based in his authority. If his authority is no good, who cares what I do with my faith? Who cares? It doesn't matter. There's nothing to back it up. And see, you got to come this. When I step in faith in God's word, God is in the middle of it to back it up. God is in the middle of that thing to bring it to pass. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. Don't say he got some. Don't say he has a little bit. Don't say he has pretty much. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. The problem we deal in the earth is that people are not recognizing the authority that they're under. They're over here with this authority, over here that authority, and they don't go back to supreme authority. And when we're dealing with the standpoints of scriptures and believing the word, especially, there'll be a lot happier people. People understood this, and they're like Mike's talking this morning, we know full well these people don't understand this. You know, you want to get out of here. Why? Because You don't know if anybody's on your side. Christians won out. Why? They feel hopeless. Like God left or something. If things get tough, well, I gotta get out of here. You know, I gotta go somewhere. I gotta get out. This is, you know, just God, you know. It's like, hold it. Just that God, they've lost the fact God in them. And that's what you'll do when you walk in your own authority. You're gonna feel alone. You'll feel alone. This man understood by authority. This guy says, you know what? I'm a guy. I know how this is. I'm under the authority of Rome. I don't run around and make people do this. I tell them. If they don't do it, all I got to do is notify Rome, and Rome will put them to death. You need to understand, this guy's a centurion in Israel. He is a governing authority over the people of Israel. If you ever read and study how Rome operated, you didn't mess with the Roman leaders, whether it was a centurion or whoever it is. He was in your country. He had total say over you. Anybody who's a Roman, and especially if he's a Roman citizen, you couldn't even, they could do anything, you know, no matter how bad of a thing they did, you couldn't punish him without the permission of Rome. That's what Paul did. Paul said, oh, hold it. You guys ain't messing with here. I'm going to Caesar on this thing. They had no choice. He was a Roman citizen. This guy here, this centurion, he understands this thing. Nobody can mess with me. I have an authority. I know the bounds of authority that's been delegated to me. I don't have to back it up. You mess with me, I'll call the big boys. They come and get you. That's that simple. You know, they don't have to have a trial. They'll just come down and kill you. Bury you in a ditch along the road somewhere. That's it. He said, I tell a guy to do something. He goes, does it? He recognized with Jesus, with healing. He had authority over sickness and disease. He recognized that fact. This is the thing that astounded the Lord. Told me, he said, this is the thing that astounded me. This guy understood. He didn't say, I'm a guy in authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. In other words, I got somebody backs me up. I'm under an authority. See, we have this thing today. This is why it troubles me, American Christianity, because we sort of preach it like a democracy. A lot of the things is scripture. And it's not. We need to understand the importance and the protection that you have and I have as Christians under the authority. That's our safeguard, folks. When you have somebody over you, I'll tell you what, I have never thought it was a terrible thing to have somebody over you in authority. It's a fact when I was involved, I said about, you know, when I was with some ministries and the Lord told me to pull out this minister's fellowship and stuff and things. And I said, Lord, I need a leader. See, I don't mind being under authority. I'm un-American. I don't mind being under authority. Everybody likes to vote for somebody, but they hate to be under their authority. You understand, when you vote for somebody, you're telling them you're going to give them authority over you.
That's right.
Quit voting if you don't like it. Americans are a mess in this area. They're absolute mess. They vote people in. It's like the Lord had to deal with me when Bill Clinton was president. You know, says we pray for those in authority, and I'd pray for Bill Clinton, and the Lord said to me, ain't doing you any good to pray for Bill Clinton. It just startled me when he said it. And I'm like, Lord, why? He said, all you do is you pray for him and then criticize him all the time. He said, it don't do you any good. I said, oh, Lord. So I had to repent. That ugly word, repent. I had to do that. I said, Lord, I said, you're right. Hallelujah. He said, you pray and then you act like I ain't doing nothing. So I'm not. That right now, that's one of the reasons why America's not changing, because the church won't shut up. The church needs to get out of politics and get with God about changing some things. We need to call to the highest level of authority and stand with it. We need to say, hey, Lord, I'm submitted under your authority. You said this stuff would work. I'm just going to stick with you on this thing. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to pray and do what's right. I'm going to walk in it. You're going to take care of some of these things. You know, the Lord has dealt with me over the years on different things, on ministry. And just like Mike said this morning, praying for someone. You pray for someone, you need to start, get under the authority. God tells us to pray for people. You pray for them. I don't care. You don't walk around and look and see what they're doing to see if the prayer's working. God starts to minister to them. You know, I talked to the Lord, this again, as a young Christian and praying for someone and things weren't changing. I talked to the Lord about it. I said, I pray for this person, but don't seem like anything changes, nothing's going on. And he spoke to me about it. He said, when you ask me to do something, he said, I do it. He said, the fact if a person changes it, he said, they have an authority of their own if they want to yield to it or not. But he said, when you ask me to do it, I do it. I start working on that individual. He said, they may not respond to it. But he said, I'll work on it because you asked me to. And I thought, well, there you go. See, it changed my prayer by praying for things. Because see, we expect everything to change. Hey, people, you need to understand about people. They can say yes or no. God can deal with them. And sometimes it's just like with myself. One of the things I learned when I got born again, I was going through one of the worst times in my life. God was dealing with me, and I was the most ornery it was because God was dealing with me. God was dealing with me. So I always tell people, you know, you see people seem getting worse. Maybe it is because God's dealing with them. I said, that's what was happening to me. I just got meaner than a hornet. I was just mean all the time and just drank more, did more, you know, just doing stuff. Why? God's dealing with me. And you know, and we know when God deals with you, you have to look at yourself. This is the whole thing. He turns around. A lot of Christians have that problem. God starts to deal with them and they get ugly. Why? Because they see themselves in the mirror and they ain't pretty. Must be the devil trying to do something to me. Nah, it ain't the devil. You just saw in the mirror. You thought it was the devil. It's just me. I don't. Nobody else has this problem. But I want you to understand how important it is, and your safeguard, and really where our place of authority and power is being under authority, is recognizing that. Then when we're walking, this is where this man understood, and this is why he said, I tell somebody to do something, they do it. They do it. Why? See, this is one thing I found this out, like, say, you know, I'm working in business, working for a business, and you're in charge of things. And I found out, you know, there anything that I would rather work under somebody that's maybe not so good, but at least they keep the word, do their stuff, they say their things, and you do it, you know. I can't stand these people that are always mushy all the time. And, you know, one time they say to do something, next time, you know, they're afraid to say something to somebody. Or I can't stand people like that. And I found out a lot of Christians are like that, get into an area of authority, and they think they're walking in love, not keeping the rules, because they're generally trying to, we're just trying to help them and say, yeah, and that place always becomes a mess. See, God doesn't operate that. Because God loves and has mercy and grace, He don't hide things and not deal with them. It's not the way He operates. Like, you know, I've told the story, you know, working in the prison, when a guy comes to me, you know, who's a real problem in his life and he's messed up and everything, he comes and says, you know, I've been in prison all these years and that stuff, and he's been in and out of prison. He said, you're the first person I was ever around. You treat everybody the same. See, he never got to live around that. This one thing, he never got to live around very good Christians. Well, we had Christians in the prison where I worked at, but they weren't good. They never kept the rules of things. They never walked under the... My authority as a corrections officer wasn't mine. It was given to me. They told me and handed me the rules of how you operate and run it. And you know what? 99% of the people didn't follow the rules in the place. The leadership didn't follow the rules. But I found this out. When you followed the rules, it worked.
That's right.
It worked. Like my son-in-law worked for a company. They'd always send him. His job was to go to the sites that didn't work and had problems, and they'd send him in. I said, what do you do to get these people straightened out? How do you straighten out company? He said, I just go in and follow the rules. And he said, I take it and I turn it around and make it the best place to work. I come in. He said, I just make everybody follow the rules. He said, leaders that don't follow the rules, they go. I put them out. Well, we can't do that today because we wouldn't have no leaders. See, they found out. You know, there are systems that are set up to, and you follow rules and follow systems. And stuff. Like a person yesterday, I heard him talking about when they were in the business world for a while, but they said this thing, that he went to they gave him some classes, and he went to United Airlines. One of the things they went to classes to, what the United Airlines wanted to teach is how they keep airplanes in the air and how you keep them safe, their system that they have for doing maintenance, how you do it, and the systems you follow. They teach other places this about doing their systems and how to work and keep things running inside. And you know, number one, I mean, these airlines and that stuff, they're under a lot of federal scrutiny and that stuff. And then, you know, your plane falls out of the sky, you're in big trouble. You know, it isn't like, you know, driving down the road and we're going to have a recall on your, you know, 100,000 cars getting recalled. You notice airlines don't have that. You know? Because if the automakers had to do what they do, you'd hardly ever see a recall in a car. Mm-hmm. Never would. And this person said, they said, this system just absolutely, he said, when I listened to them, how they told us how they do and what they do to maintain a system where things work, he said, it was absolutely phenomenal. But he said, all the maintenance people that were in there, and they didn't like it. They said, oh, that stuff ain't going to work. He said, why? All, he said, this is the whole reason why. They don't like to change. And he said, I went through the thing, and he said, I sat through it, and as a leader, sat into it. He said, he wasn't even running the maintenance department. But when the CEO of the company came and asked him, he said, what did you think of that? He said, I think it's an awesome thing. He said, I'm going to tell you what to do. He said, we're going to change this. And he saw the thing, ended up putting him over charge of the maintenance people. Now, he wasn't a maintenance guy. He said, because we're going to implement this plan, we're going to get this thing working. See, they're in the business to make money, not to make you happy because you work there. They don't make money. They don't even need you there. Get your ID on that. I learned that a long time ago. It's working. It's being around people and working. When I worked at Reese's, people would turn around and complain about the company all the time. And I'd say, hey, look, you work. Do what they tell you to do. If they tell you what's wrong to do and you do it and it costs them money, that's their problem. It's not yours. But you followed. I said, number one, they run the company. They're in charge of it. It's their money. I said, you want them come sticking their nose in your money? Telling you what to do, but you're always sticking your nose in their money. You let that, it's their business. I work for them. I work under their authority. When Lord taught me, when I got saved, he taught me this stuff about how to work. You know what? I became a happy worker in the place. And 99% of the people that worked for me were unhappy people because they were always trying to tell everybody else what to do and they were trying to run everything all the time. It was none of their business. Well, I found out they were in charge to run it. And I found out why. See, I'm walking, I found the authority they gave me, I am required to follow that authority, not the people. My job is not to follow the people. I'm under their authority, not the people's authority. Well, when I finally figured that out, God showed me, well, this is another thing. I said, okay, we're going to do what they want to do. Well, when people start doing, I tell people about it. I'd say, look, you need to, you know, you can sit here and complain all you want. Next week you're going to be complaining. The week after, next year, you're going to be in the same boat that you're in. I said, why? Because it's not going to change. It's theirs. It's not yours to change. I said, you need to let it alone. I said, you know, you can sit around and fight them all the time and do that. I learned, you know, that don't work. You try to fight them, it don't matter. You know, some things you need to let fall apart till it's the only way you're going to get. Nah, you keep trying to do your little, you know, patchwork thing a little here and there. Nah, let it go. And somebody all kind of comes around. And, you know, I saw, you know, plant managers come and go. And I spent a lot more years there than the average plant manager wasn't even there close to as long as I was. And I wasn't there real long. But they'd come and go. They'd come in with their bright ideas. And the next thing you know, they're gone. But I'm still there. I'm still there working, producing candy for him and doing good at it. See, and you got to understand under authority. People have a hard time with that. And then we need to know. There's that area here where it comes down to this one of these ugly words, submission. But I found this out, you know. It's like with Free's Candy Cup. I remember one time they were, you know, talking about people wanted to get a union in, and they wanted to get this union, wanted a union in, and they said, you know, we want to get a union. So their whole idea was that, well, the union had nothing to offer. They didn't have any more could offer wages. We were already the highest paid of the industry in the United States. We were already the highest paid. Because I said to one guy, this Teamster was there, they had this meeting, and I said, I want to go see what these guys are saying. This guy's up there talking, and I raised my hand, I got up and said, how much more money are you going to get from me? He said, well, he said, money-wise, he said, you guys are already paid high. And I said, in other words, the only thing you have to offer me is take money from me. Well, he said, I can give you job security. I said, I already got that. I said, I'm a great worker. They'd be an idiot to get rid of it. I said, you're coming to try to keep, we got those bums. And I said, you're coming along trying to keep that bum employed. I said, and you want me to pay for it. It does get silent in a room when you stand up and do that. I said, they'd be a fool. Why would he want to get? I said, to go to work every day and do my job. I said, well, why would they want to get rid of me? You see, this is the thing. You make yourself useful. That's what God does with people of the earth. Makes them useful. See, this guy understood about authority. We need to grab a hold of this, is getting under the authority. You as a Christian, you're under authority. Well, what am I under authority of? What has God taken of His authority and He handed it to me? Now, in this earth, when God gave man dominion in the earth and He handed man dominion, man has right here. But man opened the door to allow the devil to operate. And we need to know this. See, our great success, if we stay under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can bring the devil to a halt. Even though he has authority to work here, we can bring him to a halt on a lot of stuff. In our lives, we can bring a halt to him on all kinds of things. Oh, he may raise his head and do some stuff. We can get it changed. But that is walking under the authority that God has given. See, I can use my authority as a man in this earth. Really, go against God. Doing my thing, what I think's right, nothing. No, measure everything against the authority of the Word of God's given you. See, God's Word's given you things. Walk under the anointing of that authority. Stay in that place. Be under that authority. Because that's the place God backs you up. You know, if you take from the Psalms, you know, and the psalmist, you know, talk about, the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run in and they're safe. He didn't say they're safe when they're outside. We're the strong tower. You stay in the tower. You stay in that place. That's the place you're safe. You're safe there. You get outside the tower, you can get outside the protection of God. There's a book that I have. I got a guy had written, and he talks about boundaries of authority. There's boundaries. Your authority doesn't lie in certain places. If you get out there, you become a target for the enemy. He talked about, you know, he talked about firing a weapon. He said, like you'd take a .22 and he said, you get a jets flying up there, you know, 25, 30,000 feet. He said, you could take that .22 rifle and he said, you could fire it in the air at that jet. But he said, that's outside the boundaries of that bullet can go. Now that bullet only has so much power. It can only go so high toward it. He said you could shoot at it all day and it wouldn't make any difference with it flying up there. Why? Because that jet is outside the authority level of that bullet to hit it, do anything. Well, see, we need to know as Christians, you get outside the areas. God's authority reaches out. We find in the Word what it reaches out to. The how far it goes, and that's what you want to find out. You want to stay within those limits of that place of authority. You want to do that. This man understood that. This guy understood that. This is why Jesus said, see, he understood. Jesus has authority over sickness and disease. If he says something, there's an authority behind him that's going to change this thing. You understand? Jesus was in the earth. He was a man under authority. He wasn't in authority. Jesus wasn't operating as God. That's why they say how God anointed Jesus with Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was working under authority. He was a man under authority. He wasn't operating in the earth as God. He was operating under His Father's authority that His Father gave Him. He's a picture of under authority. That's why this guy said, I recognize you're under authority in the areas of healing and health. That's outside of my level. That's outside of my pay grade. I don't have that. That's outside. You have an authority that's outside. This guy recognized this isn't in the realm of Rome. You have an authority that's outside the realm of Rome. And it's exactly right. That's what Jesus told Pilate when Pilate called him in. He said, you're a king. And he said, my kingdom's not of this earth. That's the Democrat and Republicans that Christians follow. Their authority, theirs is in the earth. He said, mine's not in the earth. I'm not a king of that. In other words, he's a spiritual king. Jesus Christ is a king in authority over the most supreme realm that deals with this whole physical earth. And it's spiritual. That realm is the governing realm. And the church, what happens is we don't realize these things. We lower our faith into the earthly realm where we're operating. And we're trying to back up here. We're trying to force things. I've heard people, you know, trying to, we're just struggling. We're just pressing. We're just praying and pushing. They're like, this natural, that isn't what you're doing. That's not what you do. You follow what the Scripture says to do. You go and look at the authority that you have. You see people going around. They're looking for somebody to do something for them, and they are. Just like, you know, Mike's talking, they're people. They're really looking for somebody to do something. They want help, man. They don't know. There's no, people don't have it. Because people are, they just see everybody as a person like themselves in the earth. And see, the church, you can't lose the vision of who, like, you know, is teaching. Like when I was teaching about, you know, being a spiritual being, you need to see our operation and our great places. We're under authority. It's a spiritual authority. We're spirit beings. When man got lost in sin and people sin, they get over in that area of darkness. They lose the consciousness. You know, I walked for 30 years in the earth. I was still a spirit being, but I had no consciousness of me being a spirit being. Wasn't until I found out and got around people and started that, the world, that's why they get over in the areas of, you know, witchcraft, sorcery, and all that. Why? Well, they're looking for something supernatural the church don't offer. The church just offers, you shouldn't do that, you know. You don't touch, don't taste, don't do this, don't do that. That's the church, you know. You cuss, you swear, that you're bad. And the Christian's full of unbelief, which is worse. I'm telling you, God's eyes it is. Unbelief, sin. Not to trust God for Christian, worse, that's sin. Well, we won't preach that one, will we? Let's go to something else. But we need to understand these things. And I want you to get a hold of this. Get a fact of it. The best thing that ever happened to you is you understand your delegated authority. You're not trying to make it happen. Our job is to believe Him that He will do His part, and He always will. If I do my part, He'll always do His. If I take my place of faith, He will do His part. He is never a liar. Never. And get that within yourself. When Jesus saw that within this man, this guy understood. He understood who was delegated to what. I have this delegated authority here that I operate. I'm a guy under authority. When I learned this and saw this, I often wished there had been more emphasis to that side and just teaching on authority. And I'm not criticizing Brother Hagin. Thank God for what he taught about authority. I appreciate it. But when I saw this thing, I thought, you know, and the Lord showed it to me, I started to see that how important it is trusting Him, that He is the ultimate authority. I'm only working under what He gave me. Without Him, you know, it says you can do nothing. It's not just a nice statement said. It's not some, oh, doesn't that sound religiously cute? Well, I can't do anything without God. Well, why do you keep living like you can? You know, it's the truth. Have you never done that? Or is that just dead? I've lived like, you know, I had to take care of it. You know, I've been there. You know, over the years, I've done a lot of repenting. You know what? You never walk much by faith if you haven't done a lot of repenting. You've never walked much by faith. Because when you walk by faith, you learn to walk by faith. Oh, I've had to repent often over the things in my faith. I've had to stop and say, you know, God, I've been going through the motions real good. I got the system down. it's this faith thing that I'm doing all these things. I got all the ducks are in a row, but I'm really not acting like this is true. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you might as well laugh at yourself. Because it's the way it is. Ha! Hallelujah. But I want you to see this. This is what made Jesus marvel. That's why this gets it. You don't have to go down here to my house. You just say the word. Why? The authority you're under is going to take care of that. You just say it. You don't make people chase here and there. You don't do it. See, understand Jesus. And I said this before. We talked about it a number of times. Do you notice people got what they believed for and the way they believed it for? You know why Jesus went to everybody else's house and always going to people's houses? That's all they could believe for. They needed to see something. They needed to have something. They didn't understand this authority thing. Not like this guy did. They understood Jesus had healing. But this guy understood really the process. To me, he was sort of like John G. Lake said. He said, I didn't want to know that. He said, I know God heals, but I want to know how He does it. See, you get over there. I wanted to know. See, I'm a guy that asks questions of God about things. I've been like this all the time. I want to know. I wonder how makes this work? What really makes this thing work? And over the years, thank God, He's shown me things, and especially in this area. I found this is a great relief for a Christian, is to submit themselves under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, my authority and my faith lies under Him. The only reason. Now, I want you to think about this in doing this, because Just like if we went over to and look at it. Let's look at in Mark the 16th chapter. Go to Mark 16 because I want you to see this. The authority that the Lord Jesus about what was delegated to you and me. And this is one of the things, because I'm going to be dealing with actions and that stuff. It's one of the things is acting like the word is true is an important thing that we do. Acting like it's true. Especially, a series of teachings I have of Kenneth Hagin. He teaches on divine healing, and he says this. He said it's a total difference of healing, with dealing with the areas of healing with a Christian and with the world. It's two different things. We've got it all mixed together. I'm just going to tell you this. God expects more out of a Christian. He will expect more out of you because you call yourself a believer. So he's dealing with the world is another thing. It's like he used this terminology, Kenneth Hagin. He said it's a whole different ball game with a Christian than it is with the world. He said there's expectations. He said, and he goes on to teach. He teaches it from the scriptures, what God expects out of a Christian. And concerning the areas of healing, which these are areas that have not over the years really been taught. We just throw it all in a bag together and shake it up and dump it out. And especially spirit-filled people, God will have an expectation much higher, somebody spirit-filled, concerning these areas because of our position, where we stand. See, everybody really wants authority, but really doesn't want to submit to authority and the requirements of that authority. You see, like when I worked, is if you work in management, like I found it, they had expectations of me that they didn't have of the people. See, everybody went, the big faith area goes to the place, you're going to be required a lot to walk in that place. There's a requirement to walk in that area. You need to understand that. It's why, because to him much is given, much is required. That's just the way it is. That's everything in life. Do you expect of a 4-year-old the same as you expect out of a 25-year-old? Now, maybe I shouldn't answer that question today. No, today I could probably get more out of the 5-year-old. But see, people say, used to be, but you wouldn't. There shouldn't be an expectation. There should be a difference. You shouldn't be, well, you know. But people do today. People have lost this thing because people don't walk in authority. They don't walk in the places they're supposed to. We've thrown all this out. Today it's very hard to fix things and get things in order. See, we're trying to bring order by, you know, just commanding people and doing something. That's not going to work. Because people, we're living in a nation where everybody is in rebellion. I mean, we even take from the government. Our government is in rebellion against our constitution, against laws, legal, everything. We have the FBI and all of them. They're just in total rebellion against the laws of the land. They're just their agency. We have the CIA and them. They're all messed up. Why? Rebellion's running. So we know this. The devil's doing stuff out here. Christianity. And see, people see it going on and they get all upset. They're fighting over this kind of stuff. And they need to try to get in the ball game. Well, we need to get back under the Constitution. No, the church needs to get back under the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the election don't come first. Everybody's worrying about the election. All this stuff with coming up, worrying about Trump. And I said, I could care less. I don't even, what is important right now is not dealing with that. You know. These going in 2 and 3 years and people and going through and campaigns. I am so fed up with this stuff. I want to tell you what, my wallet's so darn tight. I want to tell you what, the only guy I'm voting for is Jesus. everybody's worried about all this stuff. But see, there's this, all this rebellion going on. People, the only success in income where people start falling under the authority or delegated authority they have is we as a Christians is number one. We have to come under the authority of Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to always have, God's going to expect more out of the church than he does out of the world. He expects more out of us. It's like with this, he did when he told me about praying for Clinton. He said, don't do you any good. So even though I looked at the fact that God gave me, had given me a designated me authority to pray for my leader, well, the leader wasn't doing any good because I wasn't walking in the light of the authority that I had. So it wasn't doing any good at all for God to try to do anything. Randall Greer, he has a series of teachings. It's called How to Waste Your Time Praying. So, and it's really, it's good theory because a lot of people waste their time praying. I'm so tired of Christians, and I see them disappear. People, well, you just need to pray. See, yeah. About what? Just going ahead and mouthing words and think God's up in heaven there. Just if God was just responding to people because they pray, we'd have so much fixed, it'd be taken care of. Amen. Well, it's not. Haven't we figured that out yet? See, like to me, I would get along and say, well, this thing ain't working. I wonder what I'm doing wrong. I'm just amazed how many people that light never comes on. They'll be 10 years down the road still doing the same dumb stuff. You know, with all the Christians' involvement in our government, how well has our government changed? Well, let me ask. Well, has it? Has things really got better? Gee, I wonder why. It's about men changing it. There's things, you know. This is, I found out. It can't turn the hearts of men. I can't do that. Ain't my job. I neither have the authority, but God can change the hearts of men. Even when we preach the gospel, it isn't our power to change the hearts of men. It's God's power under the authority. I may be authorized to preach or teach, but it is God who brings around. You know, God does the increase thing. It's God who gives the increase. See, we got to get over that thing. We've almost got the point of intellectualism where we don't need God. We can do it now. We can get 20,000 member churches without God. We don't need God. We know how to bring them in. We can just do it nice enough. And everybody comes and feels comfortable and likes it. We're all going to heaven. And when Jesus comes, the whole crew's still sitting. The book of Revelation. Jesus, I'm at the door knocking. I ain't even in there. And this is considered, and he says, you're just supposed to be a good church and they're really doing good and they're doing great. He says, Jesus is knocking on the door. Oh. I got to get him to knock on some heads. Hallelujah. But what I wanted to bring across is getting the revelation of this man. This guy got, and Jesus said, man, this is the faith thing. This is where the foundation of this faith thing is. This guy understands the authority. Now look at this in Mark. Mark says this in Mark 16. Jesus goes this, says this, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Now we tell everybody takes that from the standpoint of water baptism, but it can't be water baptism can't save you. What's he talking? Be baptized into Christ. In other words, people receive Christ. There's many people believe they ought to accept Jesus, but they haven't done it. As many people believe in things, but they don't respond. You got to receive it. As many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. To those who believed on his name. What? Believed on him and received it. See, you can believe on something and not receive it, or not receive that it's true. So you could go, I know that, but I'm not going to take it. I don't want that. But here he tells us, but now listen what he goes on and said. Now, and these signs will follow those who believe. So these signs follow. Why? I've given, what's he doing? He's designating authority. He's giving people, the believer, a right to do that. The believer is given this right. You're delegated the authority to do this. In other words, the ones who hear the gospel and the ones who believe the gospel, these ones are given this authority. He says, these signs will follow them, believe. It says, in my name you'll cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. I remember listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching on it, and Kenneth Hagin said, the devil don't leave because of you. He said, it's who backs you is why he said, it's the authority of the name of Jesus he leaves. It ain't your name. It isn't you that he goes. He moves because he knows the authority. He knows if you're in faith, God will back you up. He ain't going to have a choice. He ain't going to mess around there. He's going to go. Why? It's what backs you up. Because why? You're under this authority. You're under this. He said, you go and you'll be able to, in other words, my name. You're not doing this because of your name, who and what you are, or what you've achieved. I mean, just say a person gets born again, automatically they're delegated, they can do this. I didn't have, you know, the Lord dealt with me. I got, in a couple months, I got born again. I was involved in sorcery. And I got saved. Every devil in hell was showing up in my house. And in fact, you know, my wife and kids all got sick. Everybody got sick. My mother-in-law just walks into our house and just walked in and just got sick. Had to throw up. Just walk into our house. And she said this. She was unsaved at the time. She said, boy, the devil's got this place. I'm saved. You know, Wanda isn't saved and stuff and things going on. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm saying, well, what am I going to do? Yeah, I'm just born again. I don't know. I don't know a lot of this stuff. So I go to work. And I'll never forget. I'm standing. You know, things spiritually sometimes, they just don't have a, it's like, it, to me, it's like yesterday. Spiritual events. It's like I see them just like, I can remember them so clear. I'm standing up on an oven that's producing wafers for the Kit Kat bars, you know, it's 500 degrees, nice and hot there, good, you know, good cool place to stand. But I'm up there talking to God about this, what's going on in my house? And the Lord just speaks to me right up there above. It's a voice, it wasn't an audible voice, but right out the inside of me, go home and throw the devil out of your house. And I said this to him, I said, that sounds good, how do you do that? I didn't know. So that sounds good. And all of a sudden, because I had been very studious up to this time, reading the Bible. You know, I was reading. And all of a sudden, see, you know, if God don't bring things back to your remembrance, it's because you ain't got nothing to remember.
That's right.
That's why. I've never had that trouble. I've stayed in the Scriptures, and God's always had something to talk to me about. And so, all of a sudden, to my remembrance, started coming these Scriptures. Of what to do. Of what to do. And so, man, I got fired up. Man, I remember driving home from work. I'm driving home from work and I'm thinking, I'm going to get there, man. We're going to deal with this devil. This devil to us. They're going to deal with this thing. And I drove up, parked the car in front of the house, and we lived, it was along the street there, and we had parking in the street in the front. And I stopped, got out. I walked up and opened the front door of the house, and I'm going to tell you what, I didn't see it with my eyes. But there was a power of force came out that front door. It made I felt like every hair in my body was standing up, and I wanted to go back to the car. I was like, oh, man, this thing, whatever it was. But whatever it was, he's mad. It wasn't happy. But all of a sudden, inside of me, there was an anger rose up. See, it's one thing, it's about the anointing. You know, if you don't ever get a spiritual anger rises up in you, you need another dip. Something wrong. But I'm going to tell you inside of me, you know, I'm this young Christian. I'm like, man, my flesh is scared. My flesh don't want to. But all of a sudden, in the inside of me, I thought, this thing ain't running my house. This is it. And I often wondered, I never said anything to Wanda about that, even over the years, because I just come in the door, and in the name of Jesus, devil, you get out of this. Dad's home. I haven't thought about that. You know, no warning or nothing. You know when Jan's coming at the door. I walked through the downstairs, telling the devil to leave, walked upstairs, and went over and told the devil to leave, and everything cleared out.
Hallelujah.
Everybody got well. Everything changed. It all changed. So you see, I always like these people, well, when you get spiritual, real spiritual, God will use this. Well, I sure wasn't real spiritual. I just operating in authority that was given to me to operate in. You know, you don't have to know a thing about a gun, but if I give you a gun loaded with bullets, tell you can shoot something with it. You don't need to be, you know, some guy's great shooting a target. You can pull the trigger and shoot it. Now, it's good if you learn how to use it, you know, to point it right. But the whole thing, this stupid Christianity we got, you get real spiritual, God will use you. I'm sorry, He's used me from the time I got born again. There's a lot of Christians, good people, but I wish they quit talking, ministers. All they do is get people into believing you have to come to some high epitome of something else. No, this is about God's authority, and it's not about yours. It's been given to you. This authority over deep, it was given to me. I just didn't know about it. And He told me, and I'm just a baby Christian. And I go home, and I, you know, stupid head thought God was going to make this thing work. See, in those days, I wasn't trying to perform it. I had to trust God. I didn't know enough not to. And I just went home, and I told those devils to leave, and they left. Why? They weren't leaving because of Ed. I'm walking there in the name of Jesus. You got to go. I didn't say in Ed's name. And because I have authority in this house and I get... No, I'm using the name of Jesus. You got to leave my house.
Amen.
Why? I was given authority to use that name. That was my authority delegated to me. I'm a man under authority. And if the devil's going to mess around, he's going to have to answer to Jesus. He knows the last time him and Jesus had a visit. It didn't turn out well for his part. And he knows. He knows Jesus is Lord over heaven and earth. He knows that. Ed ain't. Ed's not Lord over heaven and earth. My authority is limited. His ain't. Oh, he's the guy you want to stay on with him. When it comes to authority, you want to keep it. Now look at what this goes on and says. Besides the Father by name, you cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. You know, people go, I learned this out, thank you from Kenneth Hagin. See, I didn't have to have somebody lay hands on me and stuff to get filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues. I realized Kenneth Hagin talking about, you know, you have the authority, you have the right. Kenneth Hagin said this, you know, because he was taught, you know, you had somebody, he went and got somebody lay hands on him. He said, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I realized I could have had this any old time I wanted it. See, it's the authority under the name of Jesus. Jesus gave you the authority to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You think you ain't going to do it? These people that try to get filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't try to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ, you see, Jesus Christ is going to hold the Holy Ghost back? I mean, that's absolutely stupid. It's authority in His name. It said, I'll speak in new tongues. And there in my bedroom, I just said, well, in the name of Jesus, I'm talking in tongues. Hallelujah, I qualify. Because I'm one of those guys that believed. And in His name, I have been delegated by Jesus Christ Himself to talk in tongues and be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a delegated authority that was given to me to do that. So you know what I did? I acted in faith. I said, I believe I have the Holy Ghost. I believe I can talk with tongues. See, these people, I'll believe it when I can talk it, when I can say it. Well, forget it. You ain't operating under no authority, not God's authority. He didn't put it that way. He said, I have the authority to do that. I said, well, if I have the authority to do that, then therefore I must have it. Hallelujah. Because I have the authority to do it. So I can just declare my authority and do it. See, get that in your mind. Get that in yourself. We're looking at faith really in a wrong way. We're looking at this faith like we're trying to get something. This faith is about this thing that you've been already delegated. It's already given to you. It's already have it. Now, and look at this. We go on. Said, speaking new tongues. Said, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And then he says, listen, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You can literally tell people that you are authorized by God Himself, Jesus Christ, to lay hands on them and for them to be healed. It's one of the things you need to learn to do that and talk in that manner to people. People have no faith to do it. We talk, well, you know, I'm having problems, pray for me. You know, well, it's just a general thing that people are doing. No, you can tell people you are authorized by Jesus Christ Himself to pray for them and they will recover. If we would start telling people what the truth is, they would respond in faith. But we're not telling the truth. We have this religious traditions. You are authorized by Jesus to lay hands on people, they'll be healed. This is one thing that the Lord dealt with me with. He said, my power is always present to heal. It's always present. He said, you lay hands on people, you tell them the power of God will come on them and heal them and they will recover if they'll receive it. He said, you're authorized. I'm authorized to do it. Why? Scripture says right there, I'm authorized. I'm authorized to lay hands on people and recover. He told me to tell people that. Tell them that I am authorized by Jesus Christ Himself to lay hands on you. Now he said, don't cover. He didn't say they're going to heal instantly. You know, the majority of Christians, and you need to learn this, the majority of time you're going to get healed over a period of time, you're going to recover. You're not going to have an instantaneous. Thank God most of the instantaneous stuff that happens lots of times is stuff that happens, you know, like say, when gifts of the Spirit are manifestation, gifts of healing and things like that are gone. We're talking here by faith. You're going to, you can tell a person, you know what? If I pray for you, you're going to get better. Man, people are waiting to hear. Well, we're going to pray. We'll see what God's going to do. Well, nothing. You don't believe He's going to do a darn thing. We ain't going to have nothing here. There's no faith involved with this. You are delegating. And get this. You know, meditate on these facts of these things. Meditate on it. I have been authorized by Jesus Christ Himself as a believer, just because I'm a believer. You don't have to, I'm sorry, you know, love these people that say stuff, but don't pay attention to these ones. You got to ride to this place and you get real spiritual and God's going to, don't go to those places. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you got real spiritual to get there, ain't nobody would be doing it. Ever. Because the ones that think that they are used by God because they got there, those poor people. They are so deluded by demonic powers and don't even see it. God don't use you because you're so special. He uses you because He's so special. Hallelujah. Thank God He would even use us. It amazes me that He would use me. My God. Hallelujah. It can't be because you're so great. I've already proven that one out. It doesn't happen that way. It happens because He's so great and He's so good. And all we do is respond to our delegated authority. See, you don't need a special ministry. How much more special can you get? You're delegated under Jesus Christ Himself. See, everybody wants a special something. Sounds pretty special to me, and everybody's got it. See, you can't come along and say, well, see, I got this special thing. Yeah, you got special. Yeah, you belong in special ed. That's where you belong. Thinking like that. This is the body of Christ. This is just the way you are as a believer. He said the person that believes the gospel, they're automatically given and delegated this authority under my name. This is what you get under me. I'll back this up. Do you think we'd pray and he wouldn't back it up? Do you think he would do it? But see, we got to tell people. We got to go out and tell people the truth. You know? When Paul was preaching and he saw a guy, you know, and he said he perceived he had faith, what do you think he was doing? Was he preaching a gospel of, you know, something else? He had to be preaching that God wanted to heal the guy. How could the guy have thought he could be healed if he wasn't preaching that God was going to do it? See, God heals. It's just like here, we're sitting here today. The presence of God is here to heal. I go home, the presence of God's around. He's everywhere. Everywhere I go, the presence is healed. What brings that presence into manifestation? Somebody operates under delegated authority. Under delegated authority, when I respond in faith to that delegated authority, we can cause manifestations of that presence that's there will show itself. That's the wonderful thing about it, laying hands on the sick. We need to get these things in here, and I pray, you know, because this seems to be things that people have a hard time with and that stuff. People are always trying to get some kind of special ministry or some kind of, you know, I've never felt myself as operating under some kind of special ministry. To me, from the time that I got born again, it was like you find out things that are words, you just go walk in them. That's where I've come. People go, well, what office do you stand in? I'm just going to tell you this. I ain't got a clue. I have stood in kind of things where they have tried to tell me certain things and God operates. And I'm going to tell you what, I operate outside of what Rhema taught us. And I found out, you know, because they don't do it intentionally. It's our American way. We got to categorize everything. Yeah. We got to stop that. You'll limit God's use of you. You know, because we have such difference. I mean, a ministry is a difference. It's just like the prophet's ministry. There is so much a wide expanse of what the prophet's ministry can be doing and operating through. I mean, we take John the Baptist. Jesus says was the greatest prophet ever was. Up to that time, he was the greatest prophet ever was. He had never once do we have a recorded where he prophesied the future about anything. We don't have him doing one miracle. Since the greatest prophet that ever lived. Well, the prophet's ministry can't be what people think it is. And it's not. It's not what people think it is. The prophet's ministry is operating under inspiration at the time. It's like with me, I do this thing all the time. There's levels that you can operate in that people operate. You'll have some prophets in there that God will have to speak through them a lot. And like with Brother Hagin, different things. I've had visions and dreams and stuff like that go on. But I mean, to me, the Bible says we're supposed to have that as Christians. So I didn't equate that to being a prophet. I just thought I was a Christian. I just thought because I'm under this delegated authority, God would do things. I was sort of stupid, I guess. Yeah. Because everybody's trying to categorize it. It's like, let it alone. I like what Brother Hagin told us. He said this. He said, you don't have to put a name on whatever you are you're called to do. You don't need a name put on. He said, it's in the doing. It's not in the name. He said, you can put anything, any label on an empty can. Kenneth Hagin said this, if you have a gift, people will know it. Amen. I don't ever try to convince people I have a gift. If you can't tell it, it's like yourself. See, we're not trying to prove things to people. We're walking in a place under an authority, a delegated authority by Jesus Christ to us. You just walk in this, begin to walk around in this life like you are. It'll change the way you walk and live. I'm going to tell you, they will see people of faith. Faith will be seen. We'll talk about it. Faith will be seen. The church tries to live separation from the world all by just doings. I'm going to tell you what, we need to walk by separation, that we're seen. We're a different people. See, we're a different people. And this is where it comes, is the place that we don't become that because of what we are. We become that because of what He is. And what He's a delegate, He'll do it. He'll back up His word. He's not a liar. Jesus is the most wonderful thing you will ever run into. I can't imagine Him. I can't imagine the glory in the being of Jesus Christ Himself. And He did all that He did and went through all that He went through to save me. My God. He deserves Ed's devotion. He deserves it. My God, He deserves it. And I'm in wonder of what He has delegated to us. I mean, I've often, you know, you heard me say it many times. It's like handing a baby a gun. It's like what He has put in our hands is so phenomenal. I went through these things, that stuff that I went through as a Christian, and then I would go to church and I'd listen to ministers talking, well, when you always teach you this, I want people to grow up spiritually, because one of the things, you grow spiritually, you learn how to better cooperate with what God's doing, what He wants to do. You get better at it. But we don't get, I can't imagine, you know, if God only moves through me because I get spiritual, I don't think I'm ever going to change. Him moving and doing stuff's what's changed my life. I can't imagine. The supernatural is what changed my life. It wasn't Ed. It wasn't I became this. You know, if I could become real spiritual without Him, I don't need His gifts. I don't need His stuff. We need His stuff because we can't reach there without it. Look how many times, I could do 10 times in meetings, a manifestation of a gift the Spirit worked, and it just changed me. It did something. It's just like, oh man, did something in my life. You know, I've had hands laid on me, like Randall Greer, things. The time he laid hands on me, it didn't seem like anything was going on and out. He said, you feel anything? I didn't feel a thing. But I just believed I got something. I was just obeying God. And I just started seeing changes. I just started seeing changes about me inside and my perception of things. I started seeing things there. And I started, hey, that thing that he laid hands on, it's working in me. This thing. See, well, did I have to come to a real spirituality to get there for that? If I could, I wouldn't have needed that. That got it for me. Thank God. We're walking under this authority. He has people do things, and hallelujah, glory to God. See, I believe you're a whole lot more than you think you are. I believe you're walking. I mean, you think about our personal authority believer. He might give some people different and this and that. He teaches me from teaching. But I'm going to tell you what. I could have a big ministry just with what he said there you can do. What I'm delegated to do. I don't need nothing else special. Man, I'm going to tell you what, every believer's special. Amen. Why? Because the authority that we're under, everybody is it. Everybody, every believer. The day that you got born again, you were delegated to do these things. That's you. See, you want to grow, so you learn how to cooperate with that. Oh, I've done this. I want to know how to walk in this thing good. I want to know how to do this. I want to understand these things. Why? Not because I can get it. No, I already got it. It's like anything. Have you ever bought something and you had to learn how to use it? Well, it still was yours, wasn't it? That's right. All this stuff's yours. We're just a bunch of kids trying to figure out how to do these things. I'm going to tell you this. It's like being a bunch of kids. I'll tell you what. I have played around with some of this stuff, and I've stumbled across some things about how you do it and how you walk with it. But you know what? That's just, there's learning. There's a learning curve to everything. Spiritual things have learning curves too. Because see, this is what happens. God gives us a revelation. We perceive that revelation to the knowledge we have, which usually is limited. And I've learned this. Usually, till I turn around and really know how to walk in a certain thing, I've stumbled around in some places learning this thing And all of a sudden, sometimes doing it. It's like working at something. Have you ever worked at something trying to get it? You just sort of stumble around trying to get this thing to operate. And finally, you've learned a few things. And I know how to do I got this thing now. I know how it works. That's learning. You do the same thing spiritually. If you expect to all of a sudden get this revelation and all of a sudden you just walk real spiritual, get another life. This life on this side operates and comes from that realm. And that's how that realm operates. You learn. You stumble around and trip. That's why he said, you fall, I'll make you stand. You don't worry about that stuff. You don't get into that, all that nonsense of, well, I messed up and then for, 6 months walk around. Say, I've watched people in life do that, don't they? Yep. They mess up with something and they're feeling sorry, and some people never get over the stuff. It's like, get over yourself. Yep. Well, I messed up. Well, no, you've been doing it all your life, you idiot. What, do you think something new happened? There's nothing new, folks. We all do that. We're learning at this. I don't imagine how well people do with it, as dumb as we are. I'm just, really. Hallelujah. Because I learned, Kenneth Hagin said, the gifts of God are perfect, but we're imperfect vessels. They don't work through us perfectly. Amen. Hallelujah. So get over this perfect stuff. Just operate what you can, what you know. That's the way you learn. You don't learn. When I started learning computers, I started off, back and people were afraid of computers. They were afraid of them. And I bought this computer. It was an HP computer, had a 10 gig hard drive, and they told me you'd never have to get another hard drive again. That was so big back then, 10 gigs. This 10 gig hard drive, you can't even put Windows on it. Anyhow, I remember doing this. And all these people, I want to learn how to do this stuff, because all these people were afraid of them. And I thought, I'm going to do stuff on this thing and I'm going to learn how to do this. And I did some things and messed things up like crazy. But you know what? I learned how to fix it over time. I learned how to fix my mistakes. I learned how to do things. I have all these people and that stuff, and they weren't going in classes. And then they'd come and ask me how to fix their problem. Because, you can't get over experience. You can't get, you can sit and read the book. See, I'd read the book, but I'd sit down and say, we're going to try this stuff out. We're going to do something, and things wouldn't go right, I always like, you go online and you go to microwave site, and you ask them how to check out a certain thing, and you tell them your window system, and they'll give you a list of things to do, and you go try to find some of those things on there. They say you go to here and get that. It ain't even there. I mean, they don't even know where their stuff is. So I figured this out years ago. They don't know where it's at. So I'm going to have to figure out on my computer where it is. I'm going to have to learn something. And I made a lot of mistakes at it. But over the years, I've fixed a lot of mistakes. And I've taken care of things and didn't have to ship my computer off all the time to somebody else to go do something with it. But I learned. Well, it took time. It takes time to do it. But you know what? I was always glad it took time to do it. Learn how to operate in it. Learn how to do it. Learn how to fix stuff. Had big messes. Learn how to fix big messes. And you just do that, but the whole thing is this. I lost the fear of trying to do stuff. I've lost that fear. It's the same way things in the spirit. You got to lose the fear. Well, what people are going to do? What if I do this and it ain't right? Get over yourself. You're going to live in life and you're going to do things and it ain't going to be right. If you're a person, you're never going nowhere if you're worried about whether somebody thinks that you make a mistake. Get over yourself. You're going to make mistakes. And it's like with me, I'm always a person's trying to do it and they make a mistake, cheer them on, let's go at it again. It's the guy who don't do nothing and is trying to run and complain, well, I don't know how to do this, well, forget it, go sit down somewhere and the world will go on without you. That's what's going to happen. You just go on without it. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, because you will. You'll operate in God's things imperfectly, but you won't find a hand come out of heaven and smack you. And don't do it. When I've tried to walk in things and the knowledge that I've had, I've never had the Lord to rebuke me. I've had Him rebuke me over things where I knew better. Indeed. And I've had Him rebuke me. But never I've tried to walk in the light of things, of learning things. Never. He's always helped me. And He'll do that for you. Don't ever have to be afraid about spiritual things. You can walk in these things. Say, well, what if I lay hands on somebody and they don't get healed? That ain't your problem. Your problem is to walk in the authority and do what you're told to do. That's your authority. Your authority, you don't have to fix it. He does. That's His job. So you lose that fear. Like, I haven't been as far as Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin laid a hand on the guys in a meeting and the guy died. And they laid him on the altar of the things, the dead body. And he went on and laid hands on the rest of the people. Why? He ain't the healer, and you ain't either. So you're like, well, what are people going to think of me if that happens? Well, you stay home anyhow. Who cares about you? I want miracles worrying about me. Well, that ain't going to be happening. Hallelujah. Just go do it. Lay hands on him. Say, man, I tell you, he says, hey, with him, he did phase it. He really put the guy in the yard and laid hands on the rest of the people. But see, you want to learn to be this. He says, I ain't the healer. I don't heal them. He says, my job is to walk in the light that God gave me, and I do that. I walk in the light of what he gave me. What happens out of it? I'm not responsible for everybody else. I'm only responsible walking under the authority that God has given me. Hallelujah. See, if we do that, I'll guarantee you, we're going to see a lot more things happen when people lose the fear of these things, of what people think or what people say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I hope this helped you this morning. Hallelujah. As we look at these things, especially encouragement in the body of Christ of who and what you are and what you have. Glory, glory, glory. See, it's like the presence of God, like it's here right now. I want you to think about this. Whatever your need is right now here in this place, the things that you need. Think about the authority that you have, what he's given you, what the scripture says concerning what he would do. You ask anything, he says, according to his will, he hears you. This is the confidence we have. He hears us. See, I want you to just think about that in itself. If you're asking God something according to his word, you're supposed to have the confidence he heard you. You know, how do you like it when people come along and, you know, they asked you something and you know, heard them say, you know, do this, say, yeah, I'll do that. And then back, you know, 2 minutes later and asking the same thing. After a while, you get pretty irritated at it. You know why? That's a sign that the person is stupid. They don't believe in a thing that the person said they're going to do it. They're not believing in stuff. You know, I was off my brothers, we had a family get together yesterday, and we were talking about the facts. It's one thing, see, we were raised in a family. I mean, you could trust what our parents told us. You know, you could trust it. Mom and dad said something. You didn't have to go back for another answer on the thing. You got it. As number one, when they said no, don't go back to try to get a yes answer. You're going to get a no and a smack. That was no. So I think I got that one this time. My ear's still ringing. But the whole thing of it was, my parents, they didn't sit around and beat us, but I was so glad we were raised under, really, people who walked in integrity and that stuff. And if people can walk right, what about God? Where's his integrity at? See, he said, you're supposed to have this confidence. This thing, he delegated to you to pray. He said, if you pray according to his word, you're supposed to be totally confident he heard you. He didn't say, well, if you feel like it, you got little goosebumps and you're just really in the mood and this. He said, no, if you ask me and it's according to the word, you're supposed to be confident in the fact you know that he heard you. See, you're delegated to ask and he's telling you, have confidence. I'm going to answer you. He's telling you this is the authority that you're under. When you talk to me, I'm listening. This is God. See, if you understand these things, they'll change your prayer life. They'll change your communion with God. This is why many people don't have fellowship with God. They're Christians trying to get into fellowship with God instead of fellowshipping with God.
Amen. Preach.
We're trying to come to some crescendo. And then we reach that place. Oh, I feel goosebumps. I feel this. Oh, I feel like God's here. I can be standing over and don't feel like God's here at all, but he is. It don't matter how I feel about it. I can still ask and he hears dead.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But see, when you know that, you approach. See, you can step into things of the Spirit much faster if you understand these things. So in other words, then he tells us, you know, if you have that confidence, then you know this. He said, you know this. He didn't say you believe this. See, if you believe he's present, you believe he's authorized you to speak to him and he hears you. He said, then you know you have the petition you requested. You know it. You know it belongs to you. Don't get no better than that. This stuff is so simple. It's got to be. People have to complicate things and try to mess this stuff up. This stuff is so simple to think about. This is what God said to you. If you ask anything according to my word, you have this confidence. I hear you. I hear you. What it is today? What is today that you have, that you want to talk to him about? What is it? Hallelujah. He wants you to know. It's according to the word. You got this guarantee. I hear you. And if you know that I hear you, then you know this. You have it. He didn't say you're going to get it. Never said you're going to get it. He said you have it. He said it's yours. You got it. See, people are believing for it instead of believing they have it. Total different thing. They're totally different things. I wish they would get that out of the faith teachings. Faith teachers and their teaching believing for stuff. I'm tired of it. No, that's not what it is. You believe you receive something. Let's get over the accuracy of the word because it changes it. It builds a confidence in you. I got it. I got it. I didn't have to fast and pray. I didn't have to low crawl on the ground, plead, you know, and do, didn't have to do none of that. I just did that simple thing. I just have confidence. You know, when I talk to God, He hears me. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know how many people would love to know that? They don't hear it. It isn't taught. People are trying to do things to get God to hear them. They're trying to become to a great place of spirituality and this and that, the other thing. And they don't realize if they'd just be able to believe the word, they could go to a place of spirituality. They could go there. And it would be so much easier. They have spent years trying to arrive at a place. They can't get there because it's not the place given by God to get there. It's not that place. It's your place today. Hallelujah. God's been waiting for you to respond to Him. We can say to His people, if you're going to pray, see, tell people to pray, go do this, go find out in His Word. What is it that His Word says that you need, that you want, that you're looking at? Find that in the Scripture, and you go to Him and say, God, here it is. I've done this already. I've taken the Lord and said, Lord, I hear Your Scripture says this, and I'll read it to Him. It says such, such. That's what it says. So you see, you're going to have to do that, because see, you said it. You put it in the book. It's in your book. And I done read, you can't lie, so you can't go there. Hallelujah. So I know this. I'm asking now, and I know that, man, I got this thing sewed up. You're doing this thing for me. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, you walk out of that place of prayer a little bit different than you do that begging Christianity, that trying to get. You walk out of the place and say, here, you said it in your word. You've been waiting for me to come to you. You knew what the problem is, but you were waiting for me to just come with it. You were waiting for me to show up, hallelujah, and take my authority and my place. I have the right to use your word. I have the right to come to you and talk to you in that word. And you said you would listen to me. Hallelujah. And you said I'd have what I asked for. Oh, let me just say this. It's a fixed system. Hallelujah. It's fixed. Now, we complain about fixed systems. You know, people say, oh, man, this thing's fixed. No, this last election was fixed. I'm sorry, the election for Ed Gibson was fixed. God fixed it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I live under a fixed system. So don't mess with me about fixed systems. Mine's fixed. And God done fixed it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And He's given you and me the authority to operate in this fixed system.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you. You're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so phenomenal. Hallelujah. Father, it's hard to wrap our minds around. Hallelujah. You're so good. And your mercy does surely endure forever. You're incredible. And Father, we recognize today your Son, Jesus Christ, and just so thankful, Lord God. And Lord, He is definitely, as we were singing multiple times a day, He's the King. Hallelujah. He's Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just want to thank you. We're so glad to be His subjects. We're so glad to be under His authority. You gave Him all authority in heaven and earth. And Lord God, you didn't give us a tyrant. You gave us such a merciful, graceful, gracious Lord. Phenomenal. Lord, when we see these things in the simplicity of your word, it's, Lord, it can be overwhelming because, Lord, as men think in the earth, it almost seems that it's too good to be true. People would think it was a fairy tale. Oh, you're just saying nice things, but you know, you can't really take this as being true, but every bit of it's true. And I want to thank you, Lord God. It hasn't been getting just one or two or this person that's done this. It's all who have called on your name. Lord, we all qualify. All of us here today, we've been qualified. We're under authority. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you today for opening scriptures that we can see and understand, Lord God, the simplicity of these things. Lord, that we're not trying to drum something up or trying to make this somehow great. It's overwhelmingly great. It's overwhelmingly fantastic what you've done. Hallelujah. And Lord God, what you've given us. And Lord, we can try to go through all what we want to show our thanks and everything, but it'll never be enough. And I just want to say just simply, thank you so much for doing what you did. Thank you so much, Lord God, that when your son Jesus came out of that tomb and ascended on high, what he did for us is so phenomenally great. Father, thank us. Lord God, thank you so much for... He surely does deserve to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He's been a faithful son in the household. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad to have him rule over me. I'm so glad. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today. I thank you, Lord God, there's been pressure released off of your people. Hallelujah. We're not performers. Hallelujah. We're just walking in the authority that was given to us. Hallelujah. And God, your son's a performer. Hallelujah. And he even said, if we ask you anything in his name, that you would do it for us. Father, you love what he did so much that you submitted your will under him. And in his name, you'd do anything. That all things would be possible to him that believes. Oh, my, 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 my. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, there's going to be doors open to individuals here, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, their eyes are going to be open to things, stepping into things of the Spirit, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, you moving supernaturally. Lord God, their eyes are going to see. They're going to see what the name of Jesus does. Their eyes are going to see it, Lord God, because they're going to walk in the authority of it. Hallelujah. Lord God, these won't be things that we'll read in the books. These are things that will be written on the hearts of men, and men will see them with their eyes, and the glory of God will be revealed. Hallelujah. Father, we're not looking for a ministry. We have one. We have a great ministry, a glorious ministry. And we just thank you, Lord God. We're going to walk in it. Hallelujah. Just simple servants of God doing your will, Lord God, that our name is not glorified, but Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, is lifted up high. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.